The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the ESPN FC studio. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here today by Ali Moreno, Gab Marcotti, and Frank LaBeouf will be joining us in a moment. As we start the show, a bit of Arsenal talk, of course, making that late deal with Thomas Partey. And Stuart Robson is here, notoriously anti-Arsenal. So I'm intrigued to see, Robbo, if what they have done in the transfer window and what we've seen from them from the start of the season is enough to persuade you that maybe they are going in the right direction.
Yes, I think they are. Thomas Partey, I think, is the sort of midfield player. When I'm talking about midfield players, I think midfield players should be able to do everything. They should be able to close the ball down. They should be decent enough on the ball to play around pressure, which you're going to have to do if you're playing out from the back with Arsenal. You have to have enough discipline defensively. You need to be able to pass it forward as well. And when I look at the Arsenal midfield players, Xhaka is ill-disciplined at times. You know, he's a good passer of the ball. Thomas Partey, I think, gives Arsenal all those qualities, all the attributes you need to be a good midfield player, he's got. He's not outstanding at any one, but he's athletic enough to be good defensively. I think he's got good understanding of where he should be defensively. I think he can play around pressure, and he's also got the energy and the athleticism to get forward when he needs to, and he can cover his fullbacks as well. So I think that's a very good signing. And of course, Aubameyang staying is a brilliant signing for Arsenal.
So is that enough, Thomas Partey, to see Arsenal go top four, Robbo, in your opinion?
I wouldn't have said so before I saw Manchester United so far this season. I still think Arsenal are just outside the top four. But Manchester United have been so poor, that could all change. I don't think Chelsea have quite got it right at the moment. They've got all these players, but it doesn't look as though Frank Lampard knew where he was going to play them when he bought them. So there's two question marks against Chelsea and Manchester United. If they don't improve, Arsenal can get into the top four because I think they've improved their squad considerably over last year.
Yeah, Thomas Partey, a big signing. Robbo quite rightly mentioned getting Aubameyang to stay huge as well for Arteta.
And let's talk about Thomas Partey for a second. For years, when you talk about Arsenal, one of the things that we all criticize is you needed a presence in the midfield. You needed somebody who physically can dominate through the midfield and can defend through the midfield. And while Granit Xhaka is a good passer of the ball, he doesn't get close to anybody. And so physically, he cannot dominate in the midfield. He'll go and hack somebody and get a red card, and then, okay, now you're playing with 10 men. Whereas Thomas Partey, I think, has, and Robbo just alluded to it, enough athleticism where he can physically dominate the midfield because he can get close to people. And he's going to tackle somebody. And he's going to establish a way of playing that Arsenal haven't been able to show us for the last few seasons. And so it's important that that presence and that athleticism remains there for Arsenal. As for Aubameyang, obviously, this is the key for Arsenal. The fact that you have a world-class striker who chose you to stay there, to be part of your program, of your project going forward, that wanted to be a part of this, and now you see the performances, as we have seen from him over the last couple of seasons, that every time Arsenal wants something important to happen in the final third, usually goes through Aubameyang, one way or the other. And the finishing that he brings to this team, he gives him an angular point, somebody that you can and say, you know what, this is the guy that can score the important goal for us. That, I think, is critical for Arsenal.
Having said all of that, I asked all our boys who won the transfer window, who had the best summer. Nobody said Arsenal. Mm. Ali, you said Chelsea Football Club.
I did. And while I agree with Robbo that Frank Lampard hasn't been able to put all the pieces together, I just look at what the talent that is available to Frank Lampard on the field. And so, in terms of who brought the most talent onto their team, I don't think there's any question that it is Chelsea. And Timo Werner seems to be the best player of all the players that were brought into the Premier League in this transfer window. And so, Timo Werner is going to score goals. Kai Havertz has got to play better than he has so far. And perhaps the most important acquisition that Chelsea made was one of the last ones, Edouard Mendy. Because Kepa cannot be the goalkeeper for this team. And so therefore, he may just be the one guy that stands out above the rest, simply because you know you're going to get someone from Werner. You know, or you're expecting to get someone from Kai Havertz, but Mendy was necessary. Kepa was never going to be the answer.
Frank Leboeuf with us, of course, former Chelsea man. Has Lampard got what it takes to get this jigsaw puzzle complete? Because from what we've seen so far, it's a bit of a mess, Frank.
Yeah, he has everything that he needs, especially as Ali said, now he has a goalkeeper as well. I'm pretty sure that Thiago Silva will do the job. And of course, at front, he has plenty of opportunities to make sure that Chelsea is going to score goals. Now, I didn't pick Chelsea in the question that you asked because it's the efficiency of the players that just signed, where some are injured, some are not fit. I'm talking about Averst, for example, or even Thiago Silva in the first game that he played. So, of course, the potential is there. But if we are, if the question is that who has the best window transfer yet, it's not Chelsea, even with the talent that they have. And for me, it's clearly Aston Villa. Because with a name that I didn't even know, like Watkins, and what I saw last weekend is simply amazing with the players. Even the former Chelsea player, well, still Chelsea player, is on loan. Ross Barkley has never been so good since the beginning of the season with that game last Sunday. So, Emiliano Martinez, thank you, Arsenal, is absolutely fantastic. I mean, he finished the season with Arsenal being superb and signed for Aston Villa, and he's still absolutely fantastic. So, very good thoughts, very good signings with Bertrand Traoré, who's going to need maybe more games to settle down. But even Cash did well. And I'm sure Aston Villa is right now the best, best window transfer. Well, everybody's going to talk, and I'm sure Robbo's going to talk about Everton.
We will hear from Robbo in a moment, but first let's go to Gav, shall we? Because we've got one vote for Chelsea, one vote for Aston Villa. You've gone for Liverpool, Gav.
Yeah, I've gone for Liverpool. And look, I think when we judge transfer windows, we have to look where a team is and what they're trying to do. I thought Liverpool should look at some of their contracts, try to get younger in certain situations. They decided, no, our strategy is to go and try to consolidate what we have. And they've added Thiago Alcantara at a price that, you know, they might pay a price for it later, but for now is a reasonable price, a very reasonable price. And he gives them a different dimension. He gives them another source of creativity, which I think they need against teams that go and pack the box and park the bus. That is not the type of player they had before. They've added Diogo Jota, who obviously gives you a lot of relief off the bench, and you know, might one day supplant one of the front three in the starting lineup when the time comes. And they've added the reserve left back, Tsimikas, that they needed. So I think they've done well there. I would have liked it even more if they'd sorted out Wijnaldum's situation one way or the other. But for me, they took a very strong team and they addressed virtually all their needs.
Robbo, you disagree with everyone. You stay in Merseyside, but you go for the blue half.
Yes, I do, because when you're having a transfer window, it's what impact those players can do. And you've got to try and make your team better in a transfer window. And Ancelotti has done that superbly. He knew exactly what he wanted, and they have changed the way they play. And James Rodriguez is the focal point for everything. A new signing, a free signing, and he's come on, and he plays on that sort of right inside right position. And every time he gets on the ball, that's the trigger for every movement. The Richarlison comes in off the left-hand side, the fullback gets forward. Alan, I've always been a great fan of him. It's a shame he got injured in the last game, but I've always been a fan of him at Napoli. And when you look at Ben Godfrey, he's a player that played very well in a relegated side last season, Norwich. And I like Doucouré. He does the job of, and we're talking about Thomas Partey, the job of being good defensively, being able to pass the ball quite sensibly, and also have the athleticism to get higher up the field. So I think they've done really well in the transfer window. And he's also got rid of Theo Walcott on loan, which I think is even better.
Wow. What's Theo Walcott done to you, Robbo? Was he upsetting everybody? Oh, thank goodness. We got rid of Theo Walcott. Pain in the butt in the dressing room. Goodness me, Robbo. I promise you, we didn't say to everyone, please choose different teams. This was the original thought for once from the boys. Let's talk about teams that they didn't mention. Spurs, Ali, of course, brought in some key players as well.
Yeah, and I think you look at Spurs right now and you're encouraged from what you have seen so far. Now, I think Sergio Reguilón is going to be important for them. But really, the key, let's not kid each other. Gareth Bale, what is he going to be for Spurs? And whenever he's finally healthy and ready to go, to nobody's surprise, he wasn't ready to go right away for Jose Mourinho and Spurs. But if indeed, whenever he gets healthy, he gives his team something different and an impact player that he hasn't been for a long time now, then we're talking about a different potential for Spurs and a different conversation for Spurs. But up until that happens, yeah, it was nice. It's a good, solid transfer window, and it's a good start of the season for Spurs. That's it.
Yeah, but how do we assess Spurs looking ahead, as we have done for Arsenal, Gab? Obviously, given the fact that they've made these signings and also they just thrashed United Old Trafford.
Look, I like what Spurs did up until Gareth Bale. I think, again, when we assess these teams, we have to look at the expenditure. We have to look at what the manager wants. And we have to look at, you know, what the club can deliver. Because, you know, we keep talking about Lampard signed this guy, Ancelotti signed that guy. They didn't sign them. It was a club that went out and signed them. I think in Spurs' case, they got the fullbacks that Mourinho wanted. He's comfortable with Dier at center half. He got the reserve center forward that he wanted. I mean, I'm not the biggest Carlos Vinicius fan, but you know, hopefully they won't need him to play very often because Kane will stay fit. Gareth Bale, I don't get. I guess they viewed it as a low-risk gamble, given it's a loan and given that they're only paying a portion of his wages. If he doesn't step on the pitch at all this season, I think Spurs will still have had a reasonable transfer window. The only thing might have been, you know, another passing midfielder to go with Lo Celso or to replace Lo Celso, maybe a better handling of the Ali situation. But, you know, I think all in all, a good window for Spurs.
Should we go from best to worst?
Sure, why not?
I wonder who that was.
Oh.
Let's talk about Manchester United and the activity or the lack of it. We heard a lot about Jadon Sancho over the summer. A lot, according to Jan, they were very much pushing for a centre-back. Well, Solskjaer was, that never materialised. In the end, you end up with Edinson Cavani, who was given the number 7 shirt over the last 24 hours. Frank Cavani, where do you stand on this signing?
Well, I think it's a good one, even if it's not the priority for the Red Devils, that's for sure. We saw the defensive problem that they have and they keep on having and not resolving it. But Cavani is going to bring the experience. He's going to bring professionalism. He's going to be something who's going to help, you know, maybe players like Rashford, Martial, to be even more consistent in their game. And I'll talk about Lingard as well, Greenwood, and even James. So he's going to be a leader of the attack. Maybe not playing all the time, but he's going to serve the club. I think it's a good signing. Financially, I'm not sure about that because I know he has a very good, a very big wage. But on the field, I'm 100% for Cavani, so he's gonna be used and he's gonna serve very well the club.
How many goals is he gonna get, Ali?
Fitness is an issue for me, and it has been over the last few seasons with Cavani. There is a history of injury. So while I agree that the professionalism that Frank is talking about and the experience and the things that he can share with some of the younger strikers is important, in the end, this is about goals. So to your number that you're asking, I don't know. 10 goals, I'd say. Right around there, 10 goals. And the other thing is that, is he going to get the opportunities to play where he is the guy?
Right.
Not quite sure that if you're Manchester United and you lay all the options out on the table, that you say to yourself, yep, 33-year-old striker, that's our main guy in the up top. I'm not sure. Let's not forget that Edinson Cavani at one point was rumored to be going to Inter Miami. Not Inter Milan, Inter Miami. That's sort of the market that was opening for Cavani. And now it feels sort of a desperate move by Manchester United and say, hey, maybe we get the same sort of productivity that we got from Zlatan. Maybe we got a Zlatan situation from Cavani here. If that's what you're banking on and you're Manchester United, then you have bigger issues.
Why didn't they buy a centre-back, Gab?
Beats the heck out of me. As I said, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt until the end that there really was a strategy behind this. You know, we're not going to overpay for talent, and we'll get them in the next window. In this window, you know, we'll get a short-term bargain. You could argue that they did that with Cavani, although I haven't been able to confirm his wages yet, but already there's crazy rumors about how much they spent on him. But anyway, it's just for a year. They can weather that. But there is no center back. In fact, the one good center back they had, Chris Smalling, eventually left at a price that Roma were comfortable with. So I now, you know, once you get past Maguire, or you can include Maguire in the group, the way he's been playing, you know, you're looking at Lindelof and Twanzebe. Marcos Rojo is back. That gets people excited. Fosu Mensah, Eric Bai. All these guys were either not very good or have hardly played in the last 12 months, or both in some cases. So that is the really, really big concern. You're hearing stories that Solskjaer didn't want a veteran. He wanted a younger guy who could grow. But then again, if you want a younger guy who could grow and is established, like an Upamecano, you have to pay a lot of money for him. They did some deals for youngsters like Pelistri and Amad Diallo. But, you know, those guys aren't going to be in the first team frame for a while. So for me, I'm really, really surprised that they find themselves in this situation.
To that point of the youngsters, it was supposed to be about the youngsters with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Manchester United. That was supposed to be the policy. This is the direction that we're moving into, right? That we're going to bring in young players and they're going to develop and they're going to grow and they're going to mature. And this is sort of the new foundation of what Manchester United is going to be in the future. But yet the solution is Edinson Cavani. It doesn't make sense. That whatever policy is it or whatever sort of thought process that you had going into the transfer window, you got desperate in the end and you said, we need to do something. Let's go get Cavani.
Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show or you don't want to look at us, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
So there are 16 teams now vying for those final four places in next summer's Euros. They've been split up into four different paths. There'll be eight semi-finals. The winner of those semi-finals, which are one-off matches, will then face each other in a final. Thus, you will have the four teams qualifying. Robbo, let's focus, shall we, on Slovakia against the Republic of Ireland.
Yes, Slovakia against the Republic of Ireland. It's 36 against 37th in the world, but I fancy Ireland to win this game. They've got a lot of Premier League experience. You know, they've got Coleman, who's at Everton and doing really well at Everton. Doherty, who's gone to Spurs and had a really good start to the season. The two Sheffield United left centre-half and left-sided full-back Stevens in midfield. Hendrick is a good player, good passer, and will get forward as well. McCarthy, who's at Crystal Palace. And then up front, Connolly's done really well, I think, for Brighton. He's going to be a real threat in behind. And Robinson for West Brom scored those two goals against Chelsea. So overall, I like the look of Republic of Ireland. I think they're going into the game with a bit of confidence. I think they're going to beat Slovakia, who've only really got Skriniar, who's their outstanding player.
Speaking of outstanding players, Gav, if we focus then on Norway against Serbia, inevitably that focus will be on Erling Haaland.
That's right. Erling Haaland, obviously the striking sensation in European football. What I would say, though, about Norway is the way they play is rather different from the way he plays at club level with Borussia Dortmund. And so he does actually, he's got quite a bit of talent around him with Norway as well, just a different type of talent. If at Dortmund he is the main focus of the attack, Norway can beat you perhaps in different ways. You've got Martin Odegaard behind him. You've got Elyounoussi delivering crosses up front that they can choose between the likes of Alexander Sørloth, who of course just joined Leipzig. You've got Joshua King in the mix as well. You've got Sander Berg further back. So this is a different type of team. They play a different kind of football to what Borussia Dortmund play. No question about it, Erling Haaland, really the main man. And he's going to have a tough test against a Serbian side that's it's had a bit of a bumpy ride, but I think does have some really gifted, individually gifted individuals.
Just a reminder, all these games, one-off ties. And just a reminder as well, extra time is always available on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go and check it out. World Cup qualifying starts in CONMEBOL this week. You take a look at those fixtures. Ali Moreno, a man who knows about this qualifying process very well. What catches the eye?
Well, the first thing I got to tell you is about Argentina and Ecuador, and of course, Lionel Messi, who's been called back to the Argentina national team. But really, the interesting story is how Lionel Messi got back to Argentina. They're playing the game in La Bombonera instead of Estadio Monumental in Buenos Aires. Well, here's the thing. He took his plane. But it wasn't just him. It was a bunch of guys from the Argentina national team and also Luis Suarez, who he picked up on the way.
Of course he picked up Luis
Suarez. Yeah, we're picking up everybody. So they just played, Barcelona just played against Sevilla. So Lucas Ocampo and Marcos Acuña, who played for Sevilla, also got on the plane. Everybody coming over. Yeah, okay.
So did the plane stop off at Madrid?
Hey, you want to come over? Do you want to come over? Anybody that wanted to come over with Argentina, get on the Lionel Messi flight. Not everybody has that access and that sort of facility, if you will. So that creates a competitive advantage. I don't care how you slice it. And you think, well, how is that important? Well, I'll give you an example. And I know people are not going to care much about the Venezuelan national team, but Salomón Rondón, for example, because of COVID restrictions in China, was not allowed to travel from China to play with Venezuela, which is a huge deal for us.
Right.
When you look at Argentina and Ecuador, it's important that Argentina gets going right away with Lionel Scaloni. And what is, and has been for years, sort of a period of transition. It's okay, that transition has to be now over, and now we have to see the very best from Argentina. In years past, what we have seen from Argentina is a team that kind of struggles to make it through qualifiers. And it's a, oh my goodness, it's drama, stress. Is Lionel Messi having to come back? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is he going to score the big goal? Where are the goals going to come from? They have to avoid the drama. And in order to do that, it'll be great to get off to a good start against Ecuador.
Gab, what catches the eye for you?
Well, I think certainly, I think Ecuador is actually going to be a bit of a challenge for Argentina, just given, despite the luxury of flying over on Lionel Messi's plane, presumably a rented plane, I think, you know, this is going to be a long and specific grind. And one thing that we've seen, and Ali touched upon it there, the CONMEBOL's insistence on continuing to playing doubleheaders instead of perhaps looking at triple headers, looking what they could do with the schedule, with COVID restrictions in different countries means we're going to have an uneven playing field throughout these qualifiers. Venezuela losing Rondon, yeah, it's only Rondon, but relative to Venezuela, that's really, really big. Sometimes I wonder if they're going to get through all 18 games, to be honest, in these conditions.
I hear that Gab gets a private plane to the Gab and Jules podcast.
Oh, is that how it is?
Every day, yes. Or maybe the number 43 bus. Okay. You're saying that it's Messi's plane?
It's Messi's plane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on over. Everybody get on the bus.
This is the latest Gab and Jules podcast. It's available now over on the website. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A lot of big matches coming up over the next few days, including Frank de Boer's first game in charge of the Dutch as they take on Mexico. That game live on ESPN2 at 2:30 Eastern with the one and only
Ali Moreno.
Hey!
On the call, what a moment, ladies and gentlemen. We'll, of course, be looking back at that game, just discussing the other big matches from around the world on the next edition of ESPN FC. Meanwhile, let's just take a moment to reflect on Juve's transfer window, of course, adding Federico Chiesa to the squad yesterday. And Robbo, an exciting player, and what a coup this is for Juve.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's somebody that can go past people with the ball. He's got plenty of pace. He'll score goals. He's inconsistent. He still needs to be more consistent with his performances. But I'm not quite sure where he's going to play at the moment, because Andrea Pirlo has been playing with as a back four when they're out of possession. It's a back three when they're in possession. And Cuadrado's going high down the left-hand side. In the last game against Rona, Kulusevski was a right wing-back. Now, I can't see Chiesa playing up front because they've got three players up there, Ronaldo, Dybala and Morata. I think Ramsey seems to be in that position just behind, so I'm not quite sure where he's going to play. It looks like right wing-back at the moment in place of Kulusevski, but he's a good player.
It's interesting, Gab, isn't it? Because just a couple of months ago, we were talking about Juventus and what we could expect from them in the transfer market, and you were saying, well, probably not a lot, because obviously they're still very much tied to Cristiano Ronaldo's wages and it's all going to be around him. But slowly but surely, they've brought in a lot of quality into this squad.
Yeah, and they did it on the cheap. I mean, like, let's not forget, they had no choice. They recorded losses of close to 100 million euros due to COVID and due to other factors. They ate a bunch of big salaries, sent them off to MLS, whether it was Higuain or Blaise Matuidi. And they got creative with their signings, you know, whether it was Alvaro Morata, whether it was Weston McKennie coming in on a loan with an option to buy. The Chiesa deal is actually, it's a two-year loan with an obligation to buy if he fulfills, if certain things happen, such as, and these are things that will happen, such as Chiesa reaching 10 goals and 10 assists, or Chiesa playing in 60% of games, or, this is the most obvious one, Juventus finishing top four in the next 2 years. Now, if that happens, then in addition to the 10 million that they're putting down for the two-year loan, they have to pay another 40 million, plus there's potentially another 10 million in bonuses. So in the end, I think it'll most likely be a 50 to 60 million euro deal, but they structured it in such a way that effectively they're pushing the payment down the road. So it's by necessity, but clearly Chiesa only wanted to go to a move within Italy. He did not want to go abroad. From Fiorentina's perspective, they would have loved to hang on to him, but they basically made him a promise, look, we'll let you go next summer. He wasn't going to extend his deal at that stage. And really at that point, Juve were the only players in the market.
Robbo, if we were to have the discussion as we did earlier on in the show about who won the transfer market, I think there's a very good argument to say that it was certainly Juventus in Italy, which is, from a neutral's point of view, a little bit of a shame because we want to see a more competitive league as opposed to Juventus winning it again.
Depends which game you watched. And the first game, Juventus looked outstanding. They played really well. Weston McKennie played well in that midfield area. Kulusevski played well, playing up front with Ronaldo. But then they brought in Morata, and I thought was really poor against Roma. Weston McKennie didn't play well against Roma. Chiesa, I'm not sure where he's going to play. So I'm not 100% sure that it's a great transfer window for Juventus. I still think there's teams that are going to be just as good as Juventus this season, but it's going to be really tight and a great league this year.
Finally, the big story, of course, yesterday was the sacking of Gunnosaurus as of layoffs from Arsenal. Well, Mesut Ozil has stepped in and tweeted, I was so sad that Jerry Gaeke, our famous loyal mascot Gunnosaurus, an integral part of our club, was being made redundant after 27 years. As such, I'm offering to reimburse Arsenal with the full salary of our big green guy as long as I will be an Arsenal player. Robbo, this seems a story right up your street.
Yeah, I would go one further with Mesut Ozil. I'd get him to actually wear the uniform or wear the Gunnosaurus outfit and be the mascot, because he's done little else in the last couple of years. So I think that would be a good idea. The chap still got other roles, I think, within the club. So he could forfeit the Gunnosaurus role and give it to Mesut Ozil. What an inspiration that would be to the players going out just before the game.
It certainly would be.
That's an expensive Gunnosaurus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Last word on Gunnosaurus for you, Ali.
Well, I'm only saying that if he's just going to be around as long as Mesut Ozil is around, Don't get too comfortable.
Oh, what? Who else can pay those wages? Right, thank you very much. Thank you. We will be back tomorrow for more. Stay tuned for Extra Time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali's here, as is Gav, and Robbo's dial-up internet. Robbo, let's start off with you, shall we? Harry Redknapp says he believes Spurs can win the title. Do you agree?
No, I don't think they can win the title. They're getting better. Mourinho seems to have got the best out of one or two of the players. Reguil's a good signing, I think. Oliver looks as though he played very well against Manchester United. The anchor of that midfield. I still don't think they're quite good enough. I still think there's something not quite right at Tottenham under Mourinho. They may just about get into the top four, but they're not going to win the Premier League.
It's a little grainy. Robbo's.
No, that's just Robbo in general.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, okay. All right. So it's not, that's just not the internet.
That's just age. Gab, can Spurs win the league?
Not this season, no. I mean, I think the gap with the front two is just a little too big.
Ali?
No.
A lot of Spurs fans hate you, don't they?
I don't know why. Just because I told them they are not going to win the league, is that it?
Well, I don't know. Just in general.
What did I do to them?
Anti-Tottenham rhetoric.
What?
Would Robbo have paid Gunnarsson's salary to keep him at the club while he was at Arsenal?
No.
Don't even pay
is that a
bill.
Question? Or were you asking Ali that, whether he thinks I would pay the what salary for Gunnarsson? I've got no time for mascots whatsoever. Ever since one, I think it was at Leeds, when I was a captain of Coventry, came over and wanted a photo. I had the photo, and as I walked away, he said, by the way, mate, you're going bald. So I've never liked
mascots. Oh, give that man a medal.
Well, hey, he wasn't wrong. He was not.
No, he was. No, the mascot was.
Yeah, accurate.
He wasn't Einstein either.
Listen, it's still bitter. 25 years later, still angry at the Leeds mascot. What was he, Robbo? What is the Leeds mascot?
No idea. Once he said that, I wasn't interested in him at all.
No.
I might have even found him. I slid into him at some point.
Yeah, sounds like it. Gab, do Italy have many mascots? I'm thinking about it.
They've introduced them in some places, but it's a little bit of a, it's seen as a little bit of a gimmick.
Yeah.
And not, you know, I think most people in Italy share Robbo's views on mascots.
Oh. Mm. Germany embrace them.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the goat.
And Paul Mariner.
And Paul Mariner, yeah, as well, yeah.
Not officially his name, but
well, there he is now.
Well, Mariner.
Now, with a lack of signings, Ali, caused trouble for Real Madrid throughout the long season. And if yes, will they lose the league to Barcelona?
Well, even if they had signings, you look at this team right now, and they're predictable in the attack. They're slow and deliberate. They're still waiting to see what Eden Hazard becomes in this team. And if you keep waiting on that, I don't know that you're going to be satisfied with the answer. So, yes, the answer is in a long, long season, not having the depth that they would want, I think if you're going to depend on Luka Jovic to come in and score a goal, that's a problem. Yeah. And that's the issue. If Karim Benzema is not scoring, where are the goals coming? Where are the goals coming from? Where is the productivity coming from Rodrigo and Vinicius, who can be dangerous but not consistent? So there's a combination of things that would tell you that, yeah, this could be a problem for Real Madrid long term.
Gab is furious.
What's the concern? What's the problem?
No. I share some of Ali's concerns about Real Madrid this season and whether they'll win the league or not. But this idea that I saw a tweet today like, oh, it's the first time in 40 years they didn't make signings. Well, yeah, but first of all, they signed Martin Odegaard, who was only one of the best players in La Liga last season. He's a loan signing, or returning loanee, but he's still a guy who comes back and adds depth to the midfield. But more importantly, they've had all the injured guys who are coming back. Isco and Asensio, and yes, Eden Hazard will be back as well. The guys they lost are people like Borja Mayoral and Gareth Bale and James, people who never played or rarely played. So, you know, is it a perfect squad? No, but, you know, it's not like all of a sudden they're wanting for numbers or anything.
Yeah, Ali. Robbo, is the empty stadium...
Didn't he say he agreed with me initially?
No, I
felt like that's what
you're talking nonsense.
Okay.
Robbo, is it that the empty stadium... Sorry, let me read that again. Is it the...
Read again, Dan. Go again.
Cut that. Right? Edit this properly, right? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Robbo, is it the empty stadium that is causing big teams to lose with huge goal differences in the short span like never before? Barca, United, Liverpool. Who's next?
I'm not sure it's the empty stadium. I think what many teams are trying to do is copy what Bayern Munich did last season. As always happens when a team becomes the outstanding team in world football or European football, other teams try and copy them. And Liverpool, having been an excellent defensive side last year and the year before, are suddenly trying to play a high offside line. And it's not working because they're getting balls just played in behind them. Even on free kicks, they're trying to hold too high a line, and they were exposed many, many times against Aston Villa. Then you see the other option, the other worry is that a team like Manchester United don't do any defensive work. You can see they're not drilled properly. So that's not working. And you've also got the combination of teams trying to play out from the back when it's not on to play out from the back. So all of those things add up to seeing more and more goals we're seeing as time goes on.
Empty stadium, would it affect you as a player? Not as much pressure maybe on you?
Well, of course it's a different atmosphere in the stadium. That clearly, that's obvious for us to see. But I think when you consider the issues that we have seen from Manchester United or Barcelona against Bayern Munich or Liverpool against Aston Villa, it has nothing to do with the empty stadium and everything to do with the structure of the team, in particular a group like Manchester United.
Right.
Even before the red card by Martial, Manchester United were running all over the place. And that has nothing to do with whether people are watching you or not. It's just you're simply not organized. Now, with people watching you, what it does is that it does create an atmosphere and an environment in which you have certain pressure to perform. And so you don't see people walking. Right. Like perhaps you see a guy like Paul Pogba who playing with 10 men and he's just kind of prancing in the midfield. A full packed stadium and a Manchester United and Old Trafford would not allow that to happen.
Right.
Because it would not be acceptable. But since there's nobody watching, oh, we're okay, it's all right. Is this a scrimmage or something? No, it's a game, man. It counts for something. So play as such. That quite hasn't been the case for some of the teams that you just mentioned.
Gab, with top teams like Manchester City, Liverpool and Bayern Munich playing with such a high defensive line and getting caught out by a good defence and a long ball forward, will Sam Allardyce and Tony Pulis get a second wind?
Yeah, that's one way to deal with it. Sure, why not? Just whack the ball in the corners and go and let somebody chase it. Look, I'll try to answer the question seriously. This isn't the first time in history that people have played high defensive lines. They don't do it all the time. Good teams don't do it all the time. But people find ways around it. You know, playing a high defensive line can tire you out. You can hit a ball over the top Or, you know, you sign Thierry Henry and he does that sneaky thing where he runs along the back line and then it's a foot race. So there's always solutions. And yeah, maybe going back to the days of Sam Allardyce and Tony Pulis would work. The only problem is if you play that way against a high defensive line, you know, all that's going to happen is you're just going to keep giving the ball back to the other team, and you'll just never get out of, you know, your own area, which might be fine.
What is
the... we're not just talking about one ball. You're not just people just saying, oh, it's one ball over the top. Yes, at times, you know, every time Arsenal had the ball and David Luiz had the ball against Liverpool, the Liverpool back line should have been saying, I know it's going to go in behind for Aubameyang, but they didn't do so. And Lacazette made the runs. But there's also good play to get it into midfield and then the next ball's behind. That's the key to defending. You've got to pick the right time to squeeze up, the right time to drop off.
Oh. Robbo has never looked better.
Oh, man.
Never looked better. It's like, oh. Wow.
What is the best final day signing that changed the fortune of a club? Oh, do you want some final day signings?
Go ahead.
Luis Suarez,
uh-huh.
Ajax to Liverpool.
That's a good one.
This is a very good one.
Uh-huh.
Claude Makélélé,
wow.
Real Madrid to Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Rooney, Everton to Manchester United.
Those are all very good ones.
They're all good ones, aren't they?
I like those.
Yeah. Gab, you got any others you'd like to add to the list?
Well, let me just consult my database.
Well, my database, remember them, signings. Gab, without Googling at all.
No, look. I think
Glenn Whelan,
there's two
Jermaine
kinds
Defoe.
Of final day signings. There's the ones where people have worked on them for a long time. And they just happen at the final day because other aspects fall into place, which might have been a bit, I think, the case with Luis Suarez and Wayne Rooney. You know, and then there's others where, you know, you just literally manage to get it over the line at the end because you negotiate really hard and then eventually you say, hey, screw it, let's go and get this done. So, yeah, there's all sorts of final
Sadio day signings. Sadio Mane. Hugo Lloris,
wow.
Master.
Wow. Research. David De Gea to Real Madrid. Oh, no.
That's the fax machine. Okay, here we go then. This has been a story that's been rumbling on for a while. I think the whole panel was asked out of the non-playing people, who would be the worst at taking a penalty?
Mm-hmm.
Gab Marcotti was voted the worst out of everyone. Gab being the best penalty taker of the FC cast. Which former player on the show would you have liked to play alongside with the most?
So you didn't catch the question.
Who would you like to have played with the most out of all of our cast?
Or you're putting me in a really, really difficult position here. I would probably have gone with Stevie Nichol because you know what? Out of everybody on the panel, Stevie Nichol is the one who I saw play when I was still a child. I saw him play in a European Cup final when I was really, really, really small. It's one of my first memories of football. I saw him miss a penalty in that final, but still. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Stevie.
And for Ali and Robbo, let's see if Robbo's connection is still working, shall we?
Are you sure?
My betting is definitely not.
Are you sure?
Which non-footballer of the FC cast would you have liked to have played alongside with the most?
Oh. Wow.
Got to be Gab, Robbo.
Well, in terms of team, I certainly won't play with Gab. All I've got in my mind is that picture of me trying to row the boat with him at the other end.
Yes.
Give me no help, no direction whatsoever. So it wouldn't be Gab. I'd go with Jules. I think he'd be a good midfield
Jules.
Player. I think he'd have lots of skill. He'd be good to play 1-2s with. So, yeah, Jules.
Played lower level, didn't he, French football?
I can tell you, with knowledge, with certainty.
Yes.
I have played with Sebastián Salazar.
How would that have been?
Well, you said...
Because Sebi was quite good, wasn't he? Did he play...
No, what are you talking about? No.
He tells me that he would have played championship level if he was English.
Okay, here's the thing. The question is, which one would you have had most fun with? Something like that, right?
No, who would you have liked to have played on?
Well, okay, it would have been the most fun to play with Sebi because just playing with him and the fact that he thinks he's good...
Right.
And... the sort of effort and attitude and commitment that he puts into our sort of get-togethers to play.
Yeah, your pickup.
the little pickup action, it actually becomes a lot more interesting with Seb on the field.
Because of the way he is.
Okay, I have to show it. I didn't want to do it to Seb.
Right, go on.
I kid you not. I was on the field with Seb. I picked him because I knew he was going to work really hard. And then I saw him defending 1v1 against whoever, and he started going high knees with his hands like this. And I just said, this is the guy.
I love it. Go on.
This is the guy. Although I did ask him, what are you doing, Seb? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know.
You know he'd bring 100% what? Commitment, Seb.
As he does in everything.
As he does to everything, most definitely.
To the point to where he's a little annoying about it. But when it comes to playing soccer and you see him high knees and with his hands out like this, then you say, yeah, that's the guy that you need on the team because he brings energy to a pickup game.
Very much so. Should we ask Robbo any more questions?
Yeah, sure. Is he still there?
Oh, there he is.
Hey.
All right. That is it then. That brings us to the end of the 20th century with Robbo and the end of the show. We will be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.